Hallelujah. Would you turn to Matthew 24? Let's get updated. Matthew 24. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink from the Lord. Tell him, fill you and kill you. Praise God. Lord, fill us and kill us. That it's no longer we that live, but you that live. Loose us from every area of selfishness, greed, and works of the flesh. In Jesus' name. Matthew 24, and let's go to verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" The end of the age. And this age is a representation of the age of grace. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation," and that means ethnic group, "and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places." Is this happening? Amen. More than ever. "And all of these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, there's three stages in the arena of tribulation. And the first stage before tribulation actually begins is called the beginning of sorrows. And this is where we are right now. We are in the beginning of sorrows, and we're almost done with it. And in the beginning of sorrows, the main reigning spirit is known as Pharaoh. Pharaoh. And what's going to happen and what you're seeing right now is the area that Pharaoh is going to get dethroned. And in between the dethroning and the throning of the next one, there's going to be a move of God. Is everybody with me? Because once the next throne is taken, it will be the Antichrist. And then it will be Satan himself. Are you with me? That's good. Nobody's run out yet. Praise God. So the spirit of Pharaoh must be dethroned. And in between the throning of the next throne, there's going to be a move of God in a powerful way. And that's where we're at. Right now you're going to see, that's why you're seeing revolts and revolutions happening all over the world. You know, the 2011 prophecy that the Lord gave us, one of the things is that Egypt would turn its back on the United States. I never knew it would end up this way. Egypt is a main key for us to be over there in the Middle East to assist Israel. But in that, the United States paid a tremendous price because they supported a heathen. They supported a man that allowed rape, murdering, killings, and innocent murders to be established for his own wealth for 30 years. Now Jordan is being affected. And all of these things are associated with fulfillment of prophecy because the Bible says that nations will come against Israel. And it's going to have to happen all around them. But right now what you're seeing is a dethroning of Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh promotes slavery, doesn't he? Amen. He promotes abortion. He promotes murder. He promotes all of the other ungodly things. And it's all about himself. And he's into building his own empire. And that's what the spirit of Pharaoh is about. Our own president is under the spirit of Pharaoh. And eventually he'll be dethroned. I'm not into politics, but ever since I got saved and God began to bring revelation to me about the book of Revelation and about prophecy and about other things, he began to show me about watching the news so that I could keep up with what's happening and keep our people informed. And in this right now, we are in a tremendous, tremendous shift and a tremendous time. You know, it is a time where we've got to begin to examine ourselves and where we're at. You know, so many people are trying to build a future. Well, let me tell you, you're in it. Don't build your own. Let God build it, because the worst thing you can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. And in this, again, there is a beginning of sorrows. The next thing that will happen is called tribulation, and then there'll be great tribulation. So again, it'll be the spirit of Pharaoh, the spirit of Antichrist, and the spirit of Satan, then Christ. And then we will reign for 1,000 years. But right now, we are in what we call the age of grace. So even though that Pharaoh is a reigning spirit, I'm telling you, behind the scenes, there's another reigning spirit. And he's called, his name is called Jesus, but he is associated with the reign of grace. Because what age we are in is called the age of grace, where the age of grace is the reign of grace is. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 26. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. Would you read it with me, please? For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. And anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Why? Because the Spirit of grace is a person. Are you listening? Insulted the Spirit because he is a person. Because this age, in this age, even though it's the age of grace, it is the reign of grace. Grace still reigns. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The reign of grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 4. It's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Would you read it with me? And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the what? Spirit not be more what? Glorious. And what spirit is that? Spirit of grace. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away from the eyes. Is everybody with me? Now the Lord is the what? Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty or freedom. So what he's saying here is that the Lord is the Spirit of grace. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is God. And he holds all things, everything. And right now, behind all of the scenes, in this age that we're in right now, it is the reign of grace. Even though that the reign of Pharaoh, under the demonic rule, remember, Satan is the ruler of this earth. In other words, he is the ruler of the world system. But he's not the owner. He's not the owner. And because we are under Christ, and because we are believers, and that word believe means to follow, as long as you're in right standing with God, all of heaven is behind you. But if you ain't right with God, all hell is against you. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. What a time to be alive. And I mean, what a time to be alive. Just like God chose you to be alive during this time. That you could witness all of these things and see fulfillment of prophecy being established right before your eyes. I'm still blown away. You know, sometimes they think, oh man, so many people I know missed it, but they didn't miss it. They're watching it. They got a front row seat right up there. They're eating popcorn, watching this movie go on. I'm only kidding. There's no popcorn in heaven. Maybe, I don't know. Could be holy pop. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. This is the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle of God. Everything revolves around the tabernacle of God Almighty. Everything. And we're not going to get into that tonight. But there are three witnesses in heaven. I want you to get this. There is the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Those are the three witnesses in heaven. And these are one, and there's three that bear witness on earth, which is the natural realm. So there's the unseen realm, and then there is the seen realm. And these are the Spirit, the water, and the blood, which is a representation of the tabernacle that was built on earth when God revealed it to Moses. Is everybody okay? And when Jesus came, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which means the three chambers of the tabernacle. So if they are one, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, if they are one, which he says they are one, what if one comes in a natural realm? Then they all come. Remember, God is omnipotent, isn't he? That means he is also omnipresent. That means past, present, and future. Now, the devil's kingdom is all over the earth and in the atmosphere, but God is the only one who is past, present, and future. Are you listening? Not Satan's kingdom. It's just present. Is everybody okay? So these three witnesses, again, if one comes, then they all came, right? Okay, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. And he who believes, what's the word believe mean? To follow. So if you claim to be a believer and you're not a follower, you're actually a liar in the eyes of God. You can't just go there and say, oh, I believe Jesus, and go out and serve the devil. That's not believing. That's an idiot. Deceived. The next step is hell. Are you listening? You can't say that you believe and go out and serve the devil. That's not believing. The word believe means to follow. Jesus didn't go up to his disciples and say, would you believe me, please? Hello. Hey, Pete, would you believe me? Hey, Matthew, would you all believe me? No, he tapped them and said, follow me. And they dropped it, and they followed him. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Woo. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Amen. In his what? Son. Now, the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. So the eternal life was in his Son. Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe or continue to follow in the name of the Son of God. Is everybody okay? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the reign of grace. In verse 12, John chapter 1 and verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become what? Children of God, to those who what? Believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh, manifested in the natural realm. Full of what? Grace and truth. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God, Jesus, the shell of the flesh, was filled with the fullness of grace and truth. Why? Because he was going to establish the age of grace, and his death was going to allow the reign of grace. Is everybody all right? But we know grace and truth is actually one, because the Father, the Word, and the Spirit is one. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. And verse 4. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been what? Saved. So who was grace? Christ. Christ Jesus. So you've been saved by grace. You know, it's amazing how many people think that grace is just, well, I got grace of God, so I can just go out and sin. I got grace. Well, have you ever met grace? Well, no, but I got grace. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've counseled with trying to justify their evil works and their fellowship and fornication and pornography and all the other things because they have grace. I said, bro, you ain't got grace. You're graceless. Grace does not give you the right to sin. Grace is the plan of God. And that plan is to escape the deception of the devil and hell. Grace is the plan. Jesus was full of grace. In other words, he had planned God's plan, didn't he? So you are saved by the plan of God, not by anything you can do. Verse 6. Or by grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So what was the gift of God? That he came into the natural realm and gave us his plan. Has everybody got that? It doesn't give us a right to sin. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Which God prepared beforehand that we should what? Walk in them. That means do his plan. To do his what? Do his plan. Oh, praise God. So by grace we've been saved. In other words, the plan of God, we've been saved. Jesus came with the fullness of the plan. Man, he had it all set up. In Christ Jesus. And now you and I, who are under the reign of grace by the Spirit of God, we are created for good works, and we should walk in this grace. In other words, walk in his plan. not our own. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Hallelujah. In verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Doing what? Teaching them. Teaching them to what? Observe, which means obey, all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the what? End of the age, which is the age of grace. Has everybody got that? The end of age is the age of grace, because it is the reign of grace right now, to the end of the age. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So what is grace? The plan of God. It is the plan of God. Now, if you're doing the plan of God, do you have favor? Amen. But see, people think that they have favor without doing the plan of God. Well, that's not right. Now, I want you to hold on to this because we're going somewhere. So we are under the reign of grace, which is actually the plan of God, isn't it? Good. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 1. Read it with me, please. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. So what they were trying to do is justify themselves by being circumcised according to the law. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be what? Justified by the law. You have what? Fallen from grace. In other words, you have fallen from the plan of God. For we through the Spirit, now we know that he's speaking of the Spirit of the Lord, which is also known as the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth. And we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by what? By faith. So we see here that people have fallen from grace and from the reign of grace to do his plan when they begin to do their own. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not your own. That's why if Jesus is truly your Savior and your Lord, then you don't have a life. What do you mean I don't have a life? No, you lost it. You gave it up. Say bye-bye to your life. Why? Because he's got a better life. I'm telling you, when the Lord said to me, and I'll never forget this, I was an addict for 20 years, taking sneakers out of garbage cans and taking showers under the hoses of people's homes. Lost everything. And I said, I can't do this any longer. My only way out is death. I said, God, help me. And one of the things that came to me was, do you want to get off the drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? And I thought, you know, I tried getting off the drugs and alcohol. Didn't work. I tried programs, secular things, but I didn't know anything about the Lord. Churches, but they didn't know how to cast the devil out. Tried all kinds of things. And I said, I want a new life. You know what he said to me? Show me. Show me you want a new life. And I did whatever I had to do to show him I wanted a new life. I went to detox. I locked myself in the house for about 2 months. And then he came and visited me. And I got a brand new life. And my old life died. And I was out on bail. And I was supposed to go to prison for another 4 more years. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go stand before that judge and tell him, it wasn't me who did it. They would have probably locked me up for insanity. But I literally knew it wasn't me who did it. It wasn't me in that limousine with the guns and the dope. I'm a new creation. That wasn't me. And the Lord said, I'll be your attorney. I had a mandatory minimum 4-year prison I had to do. And I went to court and walked out. I walked out, even though I had a life sentence prior to that. Not too many is going to let you walk out on probation when you've already been sentenced to life once. Hello. And then in return, my wife, who we were divorced for 3 years, and now we've been married over 17 and a half years. Plus the other 8 is 25. I've been with this lady for 30 years, man. But praise be to God. And it gets better and better every day. Because in Christ, everything's always new. Everything gets newer. Yeah, whoa, all right. See, old is passing away and everything's new in Christ. Always. Oh, see, if you're in the Spirit, nothing matters. Why? Because with the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. And the greatest thing is to be free, especially from yourself. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Where there is grace, there is Jesus. Where there is Jesus, there is grace. And where Jesus is, there is also truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Praise God. I love talking what the Lord's done. And the awesome thing about in the ministry is that we get a front row seat to watch God continue to change lives. Whew. I get a front row seat, man. Hallelujah. Awesome. I don't even need popcorn. Just watch. A few health bars and all of them, but so I can keep up. In verse 9. Is everybody there? For we are God's what? Fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the what? Grace of God. What's that word grace mean? Plan of God. According to the plan of God, which was given to me, Paul says, as a what? Wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he what? Builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So grace of God given to Paul is the plan of God given to Paul. He says, take heed in how you build. Make sure it's God's plan and not yours. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, we just did a teaching on the will of God. And in God's will, which so many times we just think it's something that we have to do, you know, well, there's a difference between God's will and God's plan. God's will is that you practice righteousness. You can never do God's plan without doing God's will. So many people, and we've talked about this Sunday, they get saved and they get filled and cleaned up and so forth, and they haven't fulfilled God's will of practicing righteousness, and they want to jump to destiny. God's will is to practice righteousness. Why? Because it's the will of God is between you and God. He's not looking for what you can do for Him. He's looking that you manifest His image, likeness, and character in practicing righteousness. That's what He looks for. That is God's will. Well, now, did Jesus practice righteousness? Amen. He was the most righteous person there was. Amen. In Romans 5, verse 12, would you read this with me? Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is what? No law. Because the law was exposing sin. It was now revealing that there was sin. Without the law, there was no revealing of sin, except for through conviction or conscience. Go to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from who? Adam to Moses. Why? Because there was no law. So death reigned. Even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. In other words, the free gift was that God released his plan. It was free. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, that means Jesus who practiced righteousness, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ. In other words, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Then came the law and ordinances. The law was known as the tutor. The Spirit is known as the mentor. So under the tutor, in other words, now the law was exposing, it was given opportunity by the sacrifice, because when the law was imputed into the world, when it was brought in, now sin, the relationship with evil, because sin is a fellowship with evil, in that there would be sacrifices of animals from Moses on. So everybody got it. So there was blood, life for life. Jesus, but from Jesus to the end of the age is the reign of grace, which is the plan of God, carried out through righteousness, his will. So I want you to look at this righteous. Jesus is righteous. What was he carrying? He is the will of God. The righteousness is associated with the will, and the grace is associated with the plan. Grace is his plan. Righteousness is his will. Jesus, the righteous one, carried the plan of God, known as grace, and left his plan and his will to all mankind, that his plan would be manifested by practicing righteousness. So we see here that in this, according to the scriptures, it says that so that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. So grace reigns through righteousness. In other words, you cannot walk righteous if you are not doing the plan of God. Are you listening? You cannot do the plan of God unless you are practicing righteousness. Righteousness is the will of God for your life. Grace is the plan. So everybody got it? Righteousness is the will, because the will of God is between you and God, not you and your family, not you and your job, nothing else. The will of God is you and God, and that is to practice righteousness. As you practice righteousness, the grace of God is being manifested, and that's his plan. Is everybody okay? So now there is the reign of grace, so that the plan of God can be manifested through me and you. So if you're not practicing righteousness, can you manifest the plan of God? No. So if you're not practicing righteousness, are you under grace? No. Why? Because the plan of God cannot be manifested. Come on, y'all get this? Good. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, he will come and judge by righteousness. He's not going to judge by what you've done. He's going to judge by righteousness. Does everybody get it? Remember the ones that said, "Hey, Lord, we cast out devils and we prophesied in your name. We did all of these wonderful things." And he said, "Really? Yes, you did. I can't deny that you did it. But there's something that you didn't do. You didn't do the will." What do you mean? "Depart from me, you practice lawlessness." See, they thought that if they could just do things according to his plan, that they were okay. But they weren't practicing righteousness, and he removed them and sent them to hell. Remember, the righteousness is the will of God, to practice righteousness. Grace is his plan. They go together. You can't do one without the other. It's not accounted to anything. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 1. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? I didn't lose you, did I? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 1. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the what? Falling away comes first." The Bible says that many will fall. They will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. "And the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." And who is that? Satan. That is Satan. "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." In other words, he is being restrained from moving according to the way he wants right now. "And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he," you see that he, that's capital letter. "Only he now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." And being taken out of the way is a representation, me and you in the body of Christ. We are established under the reign of grace. And what's going to be taken away is grace. There will be no more plan of God in that arena. Is everybody okay? Now, can people still get saved? Yes. But they will have to die, beheaded, whatever it may be. Unless they can hide out in the mountains until the Lord returns. "But he who is the Spirit is taken away." And verse 8, "Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be what? That they may be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. So there will be a time when the Spirit, the age of grace will cease. The reign of the Spirit of grace will be removed. The plan of God will be no more. The Spirit of grace will be removed to allow the spirit of Satan to reign. He will be allowed to steal, kill, and destroy. The fight is going to be in the physical realm for 3.5 years. This will go on. This is going to be called Great Tribulation. Until the Lord returns with his saints on the Day of Atonement and sets up his tabernacle for 1,000 years. This is where we're at. We are coming to the close of the beginning of sorrows. And we will be entering soon tribulation for 3.5 years and then Great Tribulation. Now, many say that we're going to be taken, which is called the rapture, when it begins. I don't believe so. Not according to Scripture, but so be it. I'm willing to go if he wants to take us ahead of time. You know, I'm ready to go now. But in this, according to the Scripture, it says, when he is taken away, the son of perdition will be revealed. Well, that's when Satan steps up into the temple, and then there'll be 3.5 years left. And God will allow him, because the powers of darkness will now be in the physical realm. And there'll be war. They will possess individuals. Satan will be put in the natural realm. He will actually be in the natural realm, and he will put on flesh. He'll be allowed to do all kinds of things. In other words, the limitations that will be upon him are set very, very high. In the area that he can do whatever he wants. In other words, for me and you, limitations are set tight. They'll be very loose for him. He will have limited limitations. Does everybody understand that? In other words, he will have limited restraint. Because the restrainer will be what? Removed. The restrainer will be removed, so he's going to have all kinds of open areas where he can destroy. In fact, the Bible tells us that a third of mankind, a third of this, a third of that, is all going to be killed and destroyed, right? That's quite a bit. God wants us to walk uprightly, doesn't he? The Bible says that the path is narrow and what? Difficult. So the closer you get to God, the more you find out what you thought wasn't good, what was okay, isn't. Depending on how close you want to get to them. You know, many people tell me, well, what about drinking, and what about this, and what about that? Well, the Bible says don't be drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, there are people who have a glass of wine with their dinner. So be it, not me. How close you want to be to the Lord? You know, I can imagine somebody standing close to God with a bottle of beer in their hand and a cigarette. Hey, Lord, how you doing? Just don't witness to me. And I'm going to close at Revelation 19. Is everybody okay? The reign of grace. Revelation 19. In verse 5, then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the what? Righteous acts of the what? Saints. That means they were doing his will, right? Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brother who has the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who's that? Us. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The reign of grace. We're in it. Things are happening. Be sober. Be vigilant. The Bible says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Maintain a humble heart. Humble. Humble. Sometimes you got to eat some humble pie. Hello. Remember, pride. God resists, but he gives grace to the humble. And grace is what? His plan. Remember, grace is his plan, and his will is to practice righteousness. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for updating us and where we're at. We ask to keep us alert, Lord. Keep us awake. Keep us alert that we may continue to walk under the reign of grace and that he would constantly reign over our life. You said he was led by the Spirit, our sons of God. So Holy Spirit, take us, reign over us, teach us, show us, and guide us to all truth that your plan could be manifested. And that we would practice righteousness in doing your will and bringing glory, honor, and praise to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.